greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus, the one who calms the storms. Welcome each one of you to this service. Special welcome to the visitors that are here with us. May God bless you as you worship with us this morning. Brother Leon, your background is Old Order Men, right?
Yeah, we were that company.
Yeah. And mine is also Old Order Mennonite, known as the Pike Church. And I'm not sure if the Weaverland Conference had the same practice as the Pike Church did. But in the Pike Church, the deacon was responsible to read the text and make a few comments on it. Well, Brother Leon read my text this morning, or some of it anyway. So I guess we're going to have an old order service this morning. But I'm fine with that if you are, because God's word is the same no matter where we go. God says the same thing. Sometimes we interpret things differently and maybe look at things in a little bit of a different way. Sometimes we, in our own mind, get different ideas and need other people to help us to get the right, get our minds on the right track. But God's word is the same. God's requirements for those in the Old Order Church are the same as they are for us here today. I was going to ask the question this morning, how many of you had a storm last night? I think most of you did. You know, just imagine being out on that sea of Galilee. That sea is about 8 miles wide, about 13 miles long. It's an average of about 84 feet deep. At the deepest spot, it's 141 feet deep. But you're out there in a little boat, and the closest that I could come with researching some of it, the boats that were used on that sea were about 27 feet long, approximately 7 to 7.5 feet wide. And they were between 4 and 5 feet high. That's a small boat. It wasn't a motorboat. Was an enclosed boat. Probably didn't have lights on. If it did have lights on, they were very, very meager lights. And it was dark. And that wind came out on the sea and began to blow, began to toss that little boat around. Those boats that were propelled by oars were a small square sail. Wasn't much protection when it was windy and stormy. I don't know how you would fare on a little boat like that in the dark when you can't see. There's probably very few lights on the shore that were visible. And you couldn't see very far. Couldn't see when that next big wave was coming. But that boat was starting to fill with water. What would your thoughts be? How would you feel if you were in that situation? How would you respond to that situation? In Matthew chapter 8, is the first storm that was recorded on the Sea of Galilee, as recorded in the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Speaking of Jesus. And his disciples came to him and wake him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I had to think about that. If I were out in that little boat, on that water, and I was fearful, says the ship was covered with the waves, so apparently the waves were high enough that they were coming in across the sides of the boat. And I don't know if they were bailing water or not. But in all of that, Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the boat. I had to think about Jonah. In that respect, when the storm was very wild and they were actually throwing stuff overboard to try and lighten the ship, and Jonah was down in the sides of the ship sleeping. And I had to compare the two. I'm not sure how Jonah, with him running from God, how he was able to, in the midst of a storm, be able to sleep. But that's what the scripture records. But this situation was different. Jesus was sleeping because he was at peace. He was at rest. There was no fear. There was no anxiety over death, because he was God himself. We're not God, but as we are in that ship and the storm comes, we fear. We become afraid. We become concerned. We become anxious. And we wonder, how's it all going to turn out? Am I going to survive? I was like Leon when I was little. Storms scared me. I never went and crawled under my bed like I've heard stories of some children crawl under their beds to hide. But I did not like storms. I did not like thunderstorms. But my father was always one that would, we had a porch on our house, and he would love to go out and stand on that porch and just watch the lightning. And he kept telling me that I can come out and join him. It's interesting. And I'm not sure how old I was the first time I went out there. And I was out there with my father when a lightning bolt struck very close. Brother Leon talked about the flash and the crack at the same time. We actually heard the zing of the lightning before it cracked. And there was a little boy that made a very hasty re-entrance into the house. I'm surprised that he didn't go right through the door, but I did open the door and get inside, and I remember crying. I remember I was that scared that I cried. And if I was old enough to remember, I was probably four or five, I don't know. But time passed, and I realized that, you know, God is in control. And God creates these storms for the good of the land. Thunderstorms not only bring water, but if I'm not mistaken, they're a good source of nitrogen to the ground. God was in control of this storm here. And they they were fearful. And I'm not sure Jesus gave them a fairly strong rebuke. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? But I guess he said that to make them stop and consider the fact that Jesus was with them. There's no reason to fear, and Jesus proved that by speaking to the storm and calming the storm. This is why you don't have to be afraid, because I am in control. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 14, what Brother Leon read there in the second storm that's recorded, it says that Jesus had his disciples get into the ship, and he went to the mountain to pray. And in Mark, it's interesting to note this same story. It says he was in Mark chapter 6 and verse 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the sea was contrary to them. So as they were out on the sea in this storm, the second storm, when Jesus was not in the ship with them, but he saw them out on the sea. And it's interesting, in the darkness, he was up on a mountain. I'm not sure if he had visual sight to them or if it's just indicating that Jesus was able to see them. But the darkness did not hinder Jesus being able to see what his disciples were going through. The darkness did not hinder Jesus being able to see what was going on in their lives. And he went to them walking on the water. The storm, the waves, the sea that was about to fill the boat, he was walking on that. And they were afraid. They saw him, and they thought they were seeing a ghost, a spirit. And Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Can you imagine, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of that sea, hearing those words? And then Peter, being the one that is always outspoken, you know, they were afraid, and they saw this image walking on the water, and they cried out in fear. And then when Jesus said, "It is I," Peter says, "Well, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus just simply says, "Come." I don't know. Peter was pretty bold. He stepped out of that boat. In the midst of that storm, he stepped out of that boat at the invitation of Jesus and started walking toward Jesus on that same rough ocean, rough sea. But he looked around. He saw what was going on. He saw the waters. He saw the waves. He felt the wind. And he started to sink, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." How many times in our lives did we look at the troubles surrounding us and we were sinking? We were going down. We were becoming overwhelmed. And maybe we weren't like Peter. Maybe we just said, "Well, I'll take care of this myself. I'll start swimming." And we swim and we paddle and we exert a lot of energy and don't really seem to get anywhere. But Peter, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And that's what God wants us to do. That's where God wants us to be. But Jesus said to him again, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know, and so many times I can hear those words echoing in my mind after I go through an experience, and I finally cry out to God because I'm afraid, I fear, the waves are overtaking me, and I finally cry out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus says, "Why did you doubt? You were walking on the water. You were coming to me. What happened?" The title of the message is Storms in the Night. And you know, sometimes we face storms in our lives. And the storm might be a literal storm like we had last night. It wasn't really bad around our place, but I know there were some places that had some fairly severe storms. And in the recent past, there's areas in the United States that had very severe storms, tornadoes, and very damaging winds. Brother Lyndon had to go home because of that. You know, sometimes it's literal storms like that, and it can get really bad, and you want to run for the cellar. And you're scared, you're concerned, you're worried. And in those times, you can cry out to God. In those times, you can cry out and say, "God, save us. Keep us safe." Now, we know that there are people that have lost their lives in those storms. And we have to wonder sometimes why. There are people who have lost their lives, people that have been faithful to God all their lives, that have been killed in storms like that. And we wonder, well, doesn't God care? Doesn't God save? Brothers and sisters, we as Christians need to remember that what God does is right and good. We have questions. And some of those questions are legitimate questions. And we can ask them. But we need to remember that, as in Job's life, God isn't necessarily responsible to give us all the information. We need to have faith. We need to trust. We need to believe that God is good and he does all things well. We can commit ourselves to him in the storms of life, in the literal storms, in a storm of guilt, in the darkness of the guilt of sin, when you can't see when the next wave's coming, you can't see when the next temptation is going to hit you, and you can't see when to brace yourself. And it seems like you're going through life constantly battling the next hit. In that darkness, in that fear, in that storm of guilt and condemnation, Jesus is there to calm the sea if we want him to, if we allow him to, if we ask him to. He's not going to just say, "Well, okay, you've had enough now. I'm going to stop this." We need to reach out to Jesus. We need to wake him up, so to speak. No, we don't have to. That's kind of a crude illustration. But, you know, we need to call on him. He's not going to step in and just do that without us asking. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Master, we perish." And Jesus said to the winds and to the sea, "Be calm, be still." He can do the same thing to us in that storm of guilt that we're facing, in that turmoil that's coming our way, that condemnation that we feel. And sometimes we look at the young people and we say, well, you know, we look at them and we say, you know, just get your heart right with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's us older ones as well that face those things. It's us older ones that face the storms of guilt and condemnation from time to time. And Jesus is there for us if we're only willing to open our hearts and get rid of our pride and say, "Lord, save me." Maybe it's the storm of shame that is racking your mind and your brain. You did something, you said something, you made an ugly comment. And there's shame. And you know, sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night is when those things hit the hardest. Everything seems so much bigger sometimes when you wake up at night and your mind just starts going. And you think about that situation, what you said, or what you did, how you responded. And you're ashamed of it. Jesus sees that and longs for us to trust him. Jesus sees that. He sees us, brothers and sisters, when we're in the midst of the storm and in the condemnation and the shame of and guilt of sin. Sometimes we wish that Jesus wouldn't see us, but we can have the confidence that he sees what we're going through. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly the struggles that we're having, and he longs to be there and to step in and to help us. But again, he's not going to do that unless we ask. Mark, in the account where Jesus came walking on the water, it says there that he indicated or acted like he was going to walk past them. Jesus is there. Don't let him pass by. Call him into the ship. Call him to calm the storm. Say, "Lord, save me." Realize that you can't do it on your own. Understand that it's only through God's power that storm can be calmed. But God's power is contingent on our resignation to him and our commitment to him and our surrender to him. Maybe it's a storm of physical illness that you're going through. Maybe it's a long-term illness. Maybe it's a terminal illness that you're facing. God knows and understands. God cares. And I have been amazed. I have been amazed in the testimony of people who have been in those situations, knowing they're not going to get well, knowing that it's a terminal illness, and their surrender and their commitment to God and their testimony of God carrying them through. Brothers and sisters, sometimes those testimonies cause others to marvel and say, "What manner of man is this that can give this kind of peace to this individual?" A testimony for Jesus Christ in a time of struggle and hardship and turmoil of a physical illness can be a testimony that speaks to others around us, speaks to others that are in the same storm maybe, and realizing that storm can be calmed. Maybe it's a storm of loss, sorrow, and disappointment. Maybe you had aspirations and dreams for your life. Maybe you had hopes for the future, and something happens, and that's all shattered. And the storm seems really great. The storm seems to be so great that you're about to sink. You're about to be lost in the sea of turmoil and disappointment. Where do you turn? When everything around you seems uncertain, when you feel like that little boat that's tossed about in the sea and there's no hope, I'm going to the bottom, and you're ready to give up and you fear for your life. Are you ready to call out to God and say, Lord, save me? I can't do it on my own. I'm not able. I can't overcome this sea of doubt, this sea of sorrow and loss. I can't overcome the disappointment. And there's people in this world who have gone as far as committing suicide because of that very thing. Brothers and sisters, God is able to calm that storm if we're ready to lay everything at his feet. All we need to do is call him into the ship and say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. Without your help, the ship is going down. Without your help, I'm a goner. I'm lost. Brothers and sisters and friends, today, if you're facing the storm of disappointments, sorrow, and loss, God wants to take that off of your shoulders. God wants to take that burden away from you. No, maybe the loss isn't going to totally disappear. Maybe the sorrow is not going to go away in a day or two or three. But the peace of God can enter your heart and give you a calmness and give you an acceptance, realizing that God is in control. God knows exactly what's happening. God can see you even in the dark, even in the midst of that storm. God can see you, and he knows exactly what you're facing. He knows exactly where you are, and he'll come to you if you call out to him. Maybe it's a storm of rejection. Maybe a best friend has rejected you. Maybe you feel rejection from your partner, from your spouse. Maybe you feel rejection from your children or from your parents. You know, God sees those things. God understands those feelings. God knows exactly what you're facing. Jesus was rejected. He loved the people that he was with. He cared about them. He wanted to see them succeed, not only physically. He healed a lot of them physically, but he wanted to see them succeed spiritually. And they rejected him, the Son of God. They condemned him to death. They watched him being hung on the cross and crucified. They watched him die. They went to Pilate and asked him to seal the tomb. They rejected him. Jesus knows exactly what you're feeling. Jesus understands. We have a high priest that is not human. We have a high priest that is God himself that understands and knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows all that. He wants to see you through. He wants to be there for you. He wants to enter into that situation and calm that situation for you. But he'll only do it if you ask. He'll only do it if you seek him out. He will only calm the storm if you allow him into the ship. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'd like to read this verse in closing. Actually, a couple verses here. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's kneel for prayer.